Good morning. Christ is risen. Christos Anesti. God bless you today. Thank you for coming to glorify Christ, the risen one. We live in a world, at a time in history, where we are surrounded by voices. And every day it's getting worse and worse as technology develops, as more people log in and tune in, and it's getting pretty messy out there. But there are voices, and each of them tries to sell their version of what the world should be. And in most instances, what they sell is pure hypocrisy. And that's what the paralyzed man faced today in the gospel reading. Voices telling him what to do. Get in the water quickly, quickly, before somebody else gets in there. Come on, you're going to be healed. Get in there. Lots of voices, I'm sure, telling him that. He was sick for 38 years. But no one actually to help him. No one actually lifted their hand to help him get in the water. But I'm sure they just kept on buzzing in his ears. Get in, get in. So when Jesus comes along and asks him if he wants to be healed, the poor man just thinks he's just another voice. He's just another voice telling him what he should do. So the poor man answered the way he was used to answering, hoping against hope that this one would stay to help him get in the water. So he gives him his explanation. And there's nobody here to help me get in the water. Somebody else beats me to it. Hoping that this last one asking him might be the one who might just put him in the water. Jesus has nothing to do with that. And this myth about an angel stirring the water, if anybody should know about angels, it would be Jesus. They're under his command. Jesus completely ignores that nonsense, that magical thinking. No further discussion, no other question. Get up, take your pallet, and walk. Enough talk. Enough voices buzzing in our ears. Get up. Take up what is restraining you and walk. But it's not over yet. Because those same people who were buzzing in his ears about how he should get in the water are now telling him, hey, how come you're healed now? Don't you know it's a Sabbath? You can't be lifting anything on the Sabbath. Who is it that bypassed the waters and healed you? See, they weren't just offended by the Sabbath, the fact that he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath. They were offended that somebody else had healed him without signing on to the magic. Because most religious people do believe in magic, which is why their religion is dead. The message for me and for you of the sign of this miracle, is simply this. Regardless of what any person of influence or authority tells me, I only hear the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't hear anyone else. I might listen, enjoy listening, get cynical about somebody talking. But the only voice that counts for me is the voice of Jesus Christ. I said the sign in this miracle. The Gospel of John describes 7 miracles of Jesus. He does not call them miracles. He calls them signs, simia. A simio is a pointer. It's a pointer. It's telling us to pay attention. Pay attention and learn. There's something meaningful in what is happening here. Do you know what was the first miracle, the first sign in the Gospel of John? It was the wedding at Cana in chapter 2 of John. That gospel reading that we in the Orthodox Church read at every marriage service. That was the incident when Jesus turned gallons and gallons of water into wine so that the party could go on longer. They had run out of wine, and his mother says to him, "Son, they've run out of wine." And Jesus says, "Well, so what? What do I have to do about it? I'm not their provider." But then Mary, who knows her son, tells to the servants, "Do what he tells you. Do what he tells you." And he told them, "Bring 5 of those huge jugs, fill them with water, and bring them to me, and serve them." And without knowing what had happened, it was wine. It was wine. And the master of the ceremony even said to the groom, "You saved the regular wine. You served the regular wine, but you saved the best wine to the end." Because whatever Jesus touches, whatever Jesus commands, is the best by definition. So it wasn't a healing miracle. Nobody got healed in that miracle. It was just a miracle to keep the party going. Jesus doesn't cut corners. When he heals people, he does a complete job, like he did with the paralyzed man today. And when he throws a party, it's the best. And the party in heaven is going to be beyond anything we can imagine. Don't you want to be in that party? Or do you still think that the best stuff is down here? And, you know, want to make the best of your time here. But if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you don't listen to his voice, you're going to miss out on that other party. So enjoy it while you have it down here. Enjoy your party down here, because you ain't getting more. So either you listen to the Lord, and you listen to his voice that tells you, get up. Get up. What are you doing down there? Why are you doing things that are meaningless? Eating food that doesn't really nourish you. Earning money that is not going to get you anywhere. Except maybe a better car and a nicer home. Nicer by worldly standards, of course. Listen to that voice. He's speaking to you right now. Not so much through my voice, but through the Holy Spirit. And I think, since today is Mother's Day, I think mothers will have a special place in that party in heaven. Just as a mother had a special place in that wedding ceremony. That was the first sign of Jesus' ministry. Jesus did the sign. But it was his mother who provoked him. It was his mother who provoked him to do it. And it was his mother who told the servers, listen to him. And it is his mother who tells us also, listen to him. In every icon of Mary, she points to Jesus. She points to him. She does not point to herself. She certainly does not point to me. She points to Jesus, saying to us, listen to him. Even the Father in heaven, when Jesus was baptized or when he was transfigured, he said, this is my son, listen to him. You want to be a follower of Jesus, you have to listen to him. And Jesus honored her mother, his mother, honored her intervention. And Mary, our Holy Theotokos, our Panagia, continues to intervene to reveal Christ to us. So today is Mother's Day. I usually don't give Mother's Day sermons, but today I decided to do it. A good day to pause a little bit with Mary and some other holy women. Because behind the Lord was his mother. And behind many saints of the church, there were mother saints. The great matriarchs of our faith, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Zipporah, Hannah, those amazing women of strength and faith that stood by the faith that God was revealing in their midst. And how about the mother of the seven Maccabean martyrs? Have you ever heard of the Maccabees? Have you ever heard of the Maccabees? They were Jews about 200 years before Jesus who launched a rebellion to Antiochus, who was a Hellenistic king, a Greek, who had conquered that part of the world, as was turning their temple, their worship, into Zeus and idolatry. My ancestors. So the seven Maccabean brothers were martyred by King Antiochus, and their mother with them. And listen to the words that their mother spoke to her sons as they were being killed. I do not know how you came into being in my womb. It was not I who gave you life and breath, nor I who set in order the elements within each of you. Therefore, the Creator of the world, who shaped the beginning of man and devised the origin of all things, will in his mercy give life and breath back to you again, since you now forget yourselves for the sake of his laws. That's a real mother. That's a mother after God's own heart. As she joined her seven sons in martyrdom. And yet somehow the Holy Spirit put into her mind this faint idea that somehow God was going to give life back to her seven sons. And God did give life back to her seven sons, not here on earth. They were finished here. But in heaven, where they are among the saints of the Orthodox Church. And that book from which I quoted is the second book of Maccabees, which is a book of the Old Testament, but you won't find it in any Bible that's printed by Protestants. You'll only find it in Bibles printed by Orthodox and Catholics. Because that book of the Maccabees comes from what is called the Septuagint. And I've told you about that before, and I'm not going to bore you again. So let's move on from the mother of the seven Maccabees, Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do I have to say anything about her? Anna, the mother of the Virgin Mary. Her name is not in the Bible, but we know her name from tradition. Elizabeth, the mother of St. John, the forerunner, the Baptist. St. Emilia, the mother of St. Basil the Great. Nona, St. Nona, the mother of St. Gregory the theologian. St. Anthusa, the mother of St. John Chrysostom. St. Polychronia, the mother of St. George. St. Helen, the mother of St. Constantine. St. Theodoti, the mother of the holy unmercenaries Cosmas and Damian. These were doctors who went and healed people in the name of Christ without receiving any payment. So we call them anargyri in Greek, unmercenaries in English. Can you imagine the values that their mother taught them so that they would go and heal people without accepting any payment from them? Saint Sophia and her three daughters, Pistis, Elpida, and Agape. Her three daughters, Saint Elpida, Hope, Saint Pistis, Faith, and Saint Agape, Saint Love. Saint Anthe, the mother of Saint Eleftherios. Saint Ipomone, the mother of eight children. We had a person in church a few years ago who was coming with her two daughters, and one of her daughters was Ipomone. And I said, what a name to give to a child. But there is a Saint Ipomone. And let's not forget Saint Monica, the mother of Saint Augustine. He wrote so much about her in his book, The Confessions, and the role that she played in his life to bring him back from paganism and Manichaeism and teach him the ways of the Lord. And in our own days, Paisios would not be Saint Paisios if he had been raised by a different mother than Evlogia, and if he had a different grandmother than Hadzikristina. Olga Michael of Alaska is one of the more recent saints of the Orthodox Church, canonized in the year 2023. She and her husband, who was a priest up in Alaska, had 13 children, only eight of whom lived to adulthood. She dedicated her life to being a midwife and helping women who had suffered abuse of all kinds, especially sexual abuse. Maria Skopcova, another woman close to our times. And after the death of her daughter, Lisa, she decided to follow the commands of gospel to love one's neighbor. And she said, the love of my child obliges me to become a mother of everyone. A woman who can say that does not need Mother's Day. A woman who can say that doesn't need Mother's Day. She did something much greater than receive flowers on a Mother's Day. She died a martyr in a Nazi concentration camp and was declared a saint of the Orthodox Church by the Ecumenical Patriarch in the year 2004. So I wish Mother's Day to all mothers and grandmothers of our parish today. But I pray, above all, that all women of our parish might share Saint Maria Skopcova's desire to be a mother of everyone and to have maternal feelings for everyone. Again, her words. And then we won't need Mother's Day. Mother's Day is for capitalists. We follow Christ. And we don't need silly days. Good days, not silly. It's worthwhile. No, I'm sorry. That was stupid of me to say that. It's a good day. It gives an opportunity to people, especially who forget their mothers or who disobey their mothers or don't follow their mothers, it's a good day for them maybe to make amends and to return and to show their love for their mothers before they die. And I do tell people sometimes in our church who might be angry at their mothers, don't be angry because you will miss her when she's dead. No, it's good to have a day like today. Not so much maybe for us Christians who love our mothers, but maybe for the world out there who sometimes forgets the importance of mothers in our society, especially at a day and time in our history where families seem to be downgraded and given labels by the media and by politicians. And the whole idea of a family has been reinvented to the point where, who is a mother anymore? You ask some politicians or some Supreme Court justices, and they don't even know what a woman is or what a mother is. So yeah, it is good to have a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. But we know in our hearts as believers in Christ that true motherhood is when all women can become mothers to everyone in the world and have maternal feelings for everyone. And I think I'll stop here. Happy Mother's Day.